It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
All right, here we go. Hour number 2 of the Drive underway on this Tuesday afternoon edition of the show. And we start with the Top 4 at 4, brought to you by Knoxville Smiles. Tucker, what do you got?
Thank you, Russell. At number 1, Tennessee baseball continues its season with a midweek contest against Kansas State in Lindsey Nelson Stadium tonight at 6. The game will once again be on SEC Network Plus. Right-hander Aaron Combs will get the start for the Vols tonight. And they will be wearing the black jerseys for the first time this year.
Oh, my God. We're going dark mode in baseball?
Yes.
You don't like it?
I don't care. I'm wondering if we're going to wear
the edge tonight.
I was told that the basketball team has gray jerseys.
Ooh.
Has gray uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
And they just haven't worn them.
I want to see those. That's a clean look.
I guess you could wear them tomorrow if you wanted to. Might actually get the guys kind of fired up.
Is it going to be similar to the smoky grays they've worn before? This is me saying this. The alternate uniforms across all sports, the basketball smoky grays look.
It's not what you're thinking about from Barnes's first year. I think it's got a checkerboard thing down the sides.
Oh, hold on now.
But.
Some Kentucky sounding stuff.
I just think Barnes doesn't like. I love our basketball uniforms, man. I know it's traditional and old school.
But I kind of like that we've got our own.
I love them, man.
Yeah,
I think that's them.
Yes, that's what it is. Yeah,
send it to. Oh, no, I can tell you from.
They did the
away.
Checkerboard on the sides again.
Well, apparently they were supposed to wear them. They've had them for 2 years. I was told they were supposed to wear them last year, and Barnes just likes what he likes.
Yeah.
And the retailers were mad because they sent a bunch of those out, and you know the
they don't sell in the
store. The stores out there gobbled them up, and they're like, oh yeah, and they are for sale. Like you can go buy them at Alumni Hall or wherever. But that they'd be more sellable if the team actually wore them, because then it's like, oh. But so you've got a weird tug of war thing, and
Barnes just doesn't like the design.
I hope Barnes stands strong. I stand
I
with
too.
Barnes.
You know what they remind me
I just
of?
Don't
just
particularly
from over here,
like them. The Butch Jones Adidas ones we never wore.
The ones that showed up at like CVS and Walgreens by the front door on the racks.
Well, those ones ended up in like Afghanistan on some football team. Overseas.
At number 2, Dartmouth's men's basketball players voted 13-2 today in favor of forming a union, marking a historic next step as college sports incrementally moves toward ushering in an employee model for some athletes. Dartmouth is expected to request that the full National Labor Relations Board formally review the regional director's ruling last month that the athletes are employees of the college.
Yeah, Dartmouth has gone nuts. Not a big surprise, Dartmouth. You know, a lot of robber barons went there back in the day.
Really? Where is Dartmouth? What is Dartmouth? What's it named after?
I don't know. I just know it's
some
a
colonial
hyper
guy.
Elite Ivy League school.
Dartmouth's in the Ivy League?
It is.
Print money if you get a degree from there.
Well, so what, are they going to go on strike or something?
I don't know. Like, did you not see the university's response? Was the way I saw one of the headlines was fiery. They're pissed.
I mean, I know it's the Ivy League and everything, but
I think they're basically saying
what a distraction. The coach has got to be really pissed about this. It's like, well,
I think one of the things they just may shutter the program.
Yeah.
New Hampshire.
The Granite State.
Don't tread on me.
To a Walter hit out. Remember?
Concord is the capital.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that where the Battle of Concord was fought, the Revolutionary War? Probably not.
Can you name all 50 states' capitals?
I sure can.
I used to could.
McClure always claimed he could, and then he like flamed out like the first three named wrong. We'll circle back.
What's Vermont?
Stowe?
No. Montpelier? Boom!
New Jersey?
Trenton.
Idaho.
Boise.
Arizona.
Tucson. No?
No.
It's Phoenix.
Phoenix. I knew that.
You're out.
You didn't know Vermont.
Hawaii, Tucker.
At number three.
Hawaii.
<Thank you. laughs>
It's Honolulu, by the way. At number three, the New York Giants are not franchise tagging Saquon Barkley, making him a free agent this offseason. With that, the list of free agent running backs now includes Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, DeAndre Swift, Derrick Henry, Austin Eckler, and Tony Pollard.
So is that
it's a star-studded lineup?
That basically means Saquon's going to play somewhere else because they would resign
much.
Him, right?
Yeah.
Already.
There's no way he can. I mean, if we were going to pay a running back, because I imagine he's not going to come cheap, we just go ahead and sign Henry to another one. Who would you rather have right now, Henry or Saquon?
I'd rather have Tajay Spears.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You got to have more than one in the NFL.
I understand, but it comes down to money allotment, and you just have so many other needs.
You've also got Tajay, what, two more years on his – or
yeah,
three more years on his
– I don't see them spending a lot on – I don't see anybody spending a lot on running backs. It's sad for those guys, but I just don't
– Well, it blew me away. Kuiper had Jalen Wright as his first running back coming off the board, and he goes, yeah, he's got a third-round grade.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was talking to a friend of mine earlier today, like, what team out there do you think would actually want Saquon with the injury history?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't think of any.
I think there are teams that want him.
Yeah.
It's just the price tag the lack of durability just of the position.
You're not going to invest $10 million per season in a player that may or may not be available half the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's like getting crazy and going to buy a used car and buying like a Mercedes-Benz that's in your price range.
Right.
Really nice car at one point in time.
And finally, at number four, VFL Emmanuel Mosley has been re-signed by the Detroit Lions for a one-year deal before he can enter free agency. Mosley missed last season with a torn ACL, and he had just finished rehabbing from an ACL tear he suffered the year prior.
Well, good luck to him. Glad it wasn't his Achilles. Somebody put out a list of the running backs who tore their ACLs, their Achilles. And it's just like, it's basically career.
Yeah, you're done.
It'd be fair to say it was their Achilles heel. Sorry to do that to your top four. It was really good. Sorry to ruin it, Tucker. Top 404 brought to you this afternoon by Knoxville Smiles. It's where I go for all my dental work. If you've been putting off a trip to the dentist, put it off no longer. Go to KnoxvilleSmiles.com, give them a call, tell them Fan Run sent you, make your appointment today. We appreciate Knoxville Smiles, their support of the show. Jason says the basketball cream uniforms with the Vol script was my favorite. Those are some nice throwbacks.
We had a lot of luck in them for a long time.
Yeah, we did. We would not lose in those things.
I think we've lost FAU, and did we wear them against South Carolina at home?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think those are the only two losses. They're like 10-2
right.
In those bad boys.
Yeah.
I like our oranges.
The road orange?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Standard, classic.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
It's a solid look. I do love the cream in baseball, too. We saw the mock-ups of the new baseball uniforms
mm-hmm.
that they're getting redesigned next year. I hope they keep those, the creams.
They are. They're changing the it's front. Going from Vols on the front to Tennessee. And they're doing the
cool.
Interlocking UT logo on the sleeves. I think they're going to make it a true attempt at a throwback.
You mean like the UT that like the interlocking like
mm-hmm.
used to be at the 50-yard
mm-hmm.
line?
Mm-hmm. I like them the way they are now, man.
I do too.
Why you mess with perfection?
I've got no complaints about – I mean, I always feel like baseball team looks sharp.
Yeah, the Friday night thing with the Nike Tennessee font and the smoky gray, like those are – people can kind of – some people really hate the smoky gray. I don't get
– I feel like anymore it's – I've watched them play a lot of winning baseball
yeah.
in them, and it's kind of a new – it's kind of a tradition now.
Yeah, it's – the Nikeification of college sports. They're on cycles, so they come in and redesign everything every 4 years because they want you to buy.
Got to sell it.
Got to sell it, man.
It's like what you're talking about with the basketball jerseys. I mean, people are more likely to buy them if they're seeing
them. If they see them, yeah.
100%. Wearing.
Which kind of, I get it, but is nothing sacred? Is nothing sacred anymore?
We getting up on the porch?
I mean, do I ever get down?
Not really. We just kind of hang out up there.
I live here. Sorry, I'm captivated by the A's have released new renderings of their $1.5 billion ballpark
that their mayor does not want them to move into in Las Vegas.
You know, I love renderings.
The entire roof appears to be an LED screen.
It's like they're going to play in the globe.
Very Sydney sphere. Opera House vibes from the side. I don't know about that.
Doesn't look like a ballpark.
No, it doesn't at all. And you're in, I don't know, it gets cold, but like retractable
it's the
roof
A's,
or something.
I mean, you talk about a franchise. It's the Oakland A's. It's an iconic baseball team. I know they play in a decrepit, just awful stadium that needs to be torn down. But, man, I wish they could figure it out there.
Well, you just said it. Nothing is sacred.
Oh.
Nothing.
Matthew is next. Hello, Matthew.
Hey, fellas. How are we doing today?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
Won't take too much of your time. I just was talking with some buddies in a group text today about upcoming matchups with South Carolina and Kentucky, and we were just reflecting on, you know, Santiago and Josiah as they go through this process of another senior night. This is essentially their last, you know, ride around with the team, and it got me really looking back on the years with Coach Barnes as our head coach, and I know I'm sounding all sappy, Houston, but I guess my question is, when you look back at, you know, this team and where they started when they lost those games in Maui, and a lot of people kind of wrote this team off as just not being a team that could really get it done, it's still yet to be seen if this is a team with that edge. It feels like it is right now after the last 2 weeks, but I'll hang up and ask you all. But based on this team now versus that 2019, I know everybody has their own opinion, but is this probably from a fan's favoritism perspective, is this y'all's favorite team to watch, or is that 2019 still kind of hold that reign to it? And I'll hang up on that. Thanks, guys. Go Vols.
Thank you, Matthew. For me, the 2019, we were number one for 5 weeks.
Yeah, that was a very different
feeling season. That's what I was talking about, man. Like, for some fans of a certain age, I'm very, very appreciative of Rick Barnes, his program. This is something completely alien to me as a Tennessee basketball fan. And we got a taste of it with Bruce, but we were number one under Bruce for like 72 hours.
Yeah.
We were number one for over a month. So, I mean, that's going to – obviously the team, you know, I don't want to say flamed out. Like, we had some bad luck go against us, whatever. Lost to Purdue in the Sweet 16. And it's a tournament sport. This has been a great ride. We could lose twice this week. If this team goes to the Elite Eight, I think that people will probably like them better than the 2019 team. I mean, college basketball is weird like that.
Yeah.
So if they go to the Final Four, they definitely will be. They'll be the best team in school history.
Sure. There'll be a giant picture of them somewhere in the arena.
So all that to say, you have to wait until the smoke clears and see how this thing ends, but it's a long journey, right? And I don't know if there are people leaving this team for dead after Maui. I certainly didn't.
Mm-mm.
But
I'd say some did, but
I think
you could tell we weren't
that far off.
Especially
after Maui, and then I think it was more like after North Carolina, and I think everybody was on that. Well, we can't win a game against a team with a big and.
But to me, like, almost all that stuff doesn't matter anymore. You're at a point now where you've got three goals. Is win the conference championship. You got a chance to do that tomorrow. Win the SEC tournament. And then the big one is just how far can you take it in March Madness.
Did you guys see the picture Tennessee basketball put out for senior week?
Of the four of them standing there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Made me kind of sad.
Me too.
Happy for them, but also sad.
Kind of made you catch your breath a little bit.
Yeah. I'm going to throw the 05 team in this mix a little bit. That team came out of absolutely nowhere and got a 2 seed. That was one of the most fun college basketball seasons I can remember, because you had zero expectations going into it.
Do you remember? Like, we weren't picked to be very good that year, were we?
I mean, that was back in divisions. I can't imagine. We were probably picked to finish fourth or fifth in the East.
Well, and then was it the 18 team under Barnes that was picked?
13th.
Yeah.
Picked 13th. That was when it really took off, wasn't it?
And won the league.
Won the league and had Grant Williams be player of the year for the first time. Because he did win it twice, correct? Am I crazy there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Quick timeout. The drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio. When we continue, our friend Jordan Moore is going to hop in. Who should Tennessee target in the college basketball transfer portal after this season? He has a pair of intriguing names that he's going to share with us when we continue next. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Fan Run Radio, The Drive. Welcome back. Russell, Bear, Houston.
You guys all right?
Tucker, I'm good. Are you good? Totally disgusting conversation off the air. Let's move along, shall we?
Well, Fan Run Reunion coming up now.
Talk to our friend Jordan Moore. Jordan, good afternoon. We hear you on Overtime quite often. Friend of the program, friend of the station. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great today, guys. Just been listening to the show, enjoying it. I heard Bear say earlier about the nickname thing. Bear, you can just call me J-Mo. That's what everybody called me back in the day when I was a kid playing basketball and everything.
Oh, J-Mo, huh? Not Jomo. Okay.
J-Mo.
We'll go with J-Mo.
All right, J-Mo. Get us started here this afternoon. Before we get into your transfer portal candidates, Tennessee on the road at South Carolina, a chance to clinch the second SEC championship of the Rick Barnes era. Do you think the Vols get the job done tomorrow night in Columbia, or are we going to have to sweat it out through the weekend with Kentucky coming to town?
I think, you know, I'm already anxious and nervous for the game tomorrow night. You know, I think it's going to be a tough environment going there. The crowd, you know, they'll be pumped. You know, they're in contention for the SEC championship also. The good thing is, you know, I did see that their students are on spring break this week, so that could kind of help, you know, maybe make the arena a little bit quieter. Maybe not as many students show up for the game. But I think Tennessee goes in there. I think they get the job done. You know, Rip Barnes, during his time at Tennessee, has had a knack of – when he loses to a team the first time in the season, they usually follow that up winning the second game, and has his team prepared. And when I look at the game earlier in the year, that's a game Tennessee should have won. I mean, you know, they missed way too many easy bunnies around the rim. They were 9 for 19 at the rim in that game, and we saw earlier in that game Jonas missed 3 or 4 right at the rim. That would have kind of extended that lead a little bit more. We missed 8 free throws in the game. So I watching that game, even though we lost, I still thought Tennessee was the better team in that game. We gave up, you know, 8 open look threes in that game, which is one of the highest we've given up all season long in a game. Looking at shot quality, you know, shot quality, the way they look at it is they look at the shots you take and the player that takes that shot. So Vescovi shooting a 3 in their eyes is a great shot. Jonas shooting a 3 is not a very good shot. And they're able to extract that data and kind of come up with what a score should be at the end of a game. And shot quality said Tennessee should have won that game 74-61. That was the difference in the quality of shots we took versus them. The biggest difference was ours didn't fall, theirs did. And I think that's going to get reversed tomorrow night in Columbia, South Carolina.
Wow, that's interesting. And I agree with you. I mean, it's I don't want to take anything away from South Carolina, right? They have had a great season. That guy has done a terrific job with their team. They're well coached, and and all that stuff. But, man, my recollection of that game was just all the missed layups.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Just time and time again. And, Jordan, I got to think, if we could just clean that up, Tennessee will be in a much better spot.
Yeah, I completely agree. You know, like I said earlier, 9-for-19 at the rim is not – I mean, that's one of the worst for us this season in a game. The couple other times that we did that was against, like, Wofford and Georgia Southern. And you were able to kind of withstand that because of the talent differential. I think Tennessee today – is a better team than they were a month ago. I think this team has just been getting better on a week-to-week basis, even on a game-to-game basis, and I think they've learned more about themselves, especially over the past week, winning that Auburn game, winning that Alabama game. I think this team's in a different state mentally. I think they're especially better on the defensive end the past few weeks than they had been maybe in a little bit of a stretch in January. So I think Tennessee goes down there. They win the game. They take the SEC championship. They get that number one seed in the SEC tournament. And, you know, I've heard you guys talk a little bit about that 2019 team and, you know, who's this team versus that team. I'll say this. One thing that I think we all forget the 2019 team did not do, even though we love them and they're in our heart, they didn't win any hardware. They didn't win the regular season SEC championship. They didn't even share it. They didn't win the SEC tournament, you know, and they only made the Sweet 16. If this team is able to win the SEC regular season championship, they're already winning more hardware than that 2019 team did.
Mm. Yeah, it's a big deal, man. It's a big deal. And I got a feeling this team is going to perform well at the SEC tournament as well. I know that's not as big a deal after Tennessee finally broke the drought a couple of years ago in there, but that's going to be fun. And I'm looking forward to next week. Jordan Moore visiting with us this afternoon. Jordan, already, you know, Tennessee fans looking towards next season, and, you know, Dalton Connect has just had such an impact on this program, and obviously he's going to be – I can't imagine he's not going to be SEC Player of the Year, outside shot at National Player of the Year. And already, Jordan, people are looking towards next season and wondering, is there another Dalton Connect out there? Couple of things here. You got to think that Tennessee is going to be very attractive in the portal to players who are in the portal after Dalton Connect has had the season that he has had. Who are some of the guys out there? You listed a couple today on Twitter, a couple of names just to file away in the old memory bank for the offseason.
Yeah, over the past month, I've kind of been keeping an eye on some mid-major prospects that could potentially hit the transfer portal that Tennessee may look at. And what I've kind of been looking at is what the roster for Tennessee will look like next year and what holes we may need to replace. You know, we're good in the post for next season. You know, potentially bring back Adu, Awaka, Estrella, Cade Phillips. You're set at point guard. Zakai will be back. You have Bishop Boswell, who's a recruit coming in. Freddie DeLeon can play some point. So what you're really going to need is you're going to need a scoring punch. And you're really going to need somebody that can kind of replace the production that you're getting from Triple J at the four spot. And two of the names that I've kind of landed on over the past couple of weeks to kind of keep an eye on, one of them is going to come from a very familiar school to Tennessee fans now, which is Northern Colorado. A kid named St. Thomas. This is his first year at Northern Colorado, which is the same school Dalton Connect came from. He was at Loyola Chicago for 2 years and then transferred to Northern Colorado. He's having an outstanding season for St. Thomas. He's averaging 20 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, shooting right below 34% from three, shooting 80% above from the free throw line, shooting 50% above from the field. He's a do-it-all player. Has a high usage rate to be able to get his stats, but he's a do-it-all player. He's having an outstanding season, a breakout season. And there's kind of been a little bit of whisper out there that if he doesn't get a great draft grade, that he may put his name in the transfer portal and look to do what Connect did, which is go to a bigger program, play against some better competition, you know, work on his skills a little bit more, and then make that big leap like Dalton did this season to be a first-round draft pick. The second name, maybe a familiar name to some Tennessee fans in the mid-state, is Chaz Lanier at North Florida. He's from Nashville. He went to Innsworth High School, and this is his first year starting for North Florida, and he's had a breakout season. He's averaging 19.7 points, almost 5 rebounds, almost 2 assists. He's shooting 44% from 3 on 238 attempts.
Wow.
So it's not a small sample size. The kid is a shooter. And he's got good size of 6'4", 200. So those two guys I'm looking at on the potential of the roster next season that could replace Vesky's production, which Lanier could do at the 2, and St. Thomas could potentially replace Triple J's production at the 4. And if you can land those two guys to go with the roster you have coming back, to me that's a bona fide top 10 team again, and a team that has a chance to make a lot of noise in college basketball once again.
I'm sure the coaches at Northern Colorado and North Florida love these conversations where we're just salivating over their best players that they have developed for this season. But that's, I guess, the world we live in. Perhaps Northern Colorado can become our farm team.
The pipeline, right?
Exactly. That's crazy, man. It's difficult, Jordan, to project. I mean, none of us knew who Dalton Knecht was a year ago, right now. Right? None of us knew who he was. Maybe you did because you follow it closely, Jordan. I had never heard of the dude.
I've heard that Adam Hickman was the one that found Dalton.
Oh, yeah, just ask him, Jordan. He'll tell you that.
Oh, man, it's so funny.
Adam Hickman's a dullard.
Oh! Catching strays.
Well known.
What is my question here? How do you differentiate between, and I guess this is just coaching and film, right? I mean, this is not a knock on Jordan Gainey, but he is not Dalton Knecht.
No.
Right? And Gainey had great numbers. He had great shooting percentages and all that stuff. How do you decipher, you know, between – because we want another Knecht. I realize those guys don't grow on trees, but these numbers can be deceiving sometimes. Can they not?
Yeah, they definitely can. You know, like with the Gainey thing, he was getting a lot of his points off of being, you know, a high usage player. Like, I mean, he was their go-to guy. He was putting up a lot of shots. And that allowed him to get some of the numbers that he got. And, I think we all saw earlier in the season in Tennessee, he kind of struggled with not taking as many shots on this team. He wanted to shoot it. I mean, that's what he was used to at USC Upstate.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's still shooting it.
Yeah, he's still jacking them up there, Jordan.
He's not shy about it.
He had a little bit of stretch there where he kind of cut his shot attempts in half. And here the last few games, he's been putting them back up there. You just kind of – the thing that I look for, Rick – and you see this with Dalton, and you see it with Gainey, is, yeah, you can look at the numbers all day long. And, you know, we all want, you know, a guy that's putting up great numbers. But it's got to be a culture fit. Mm-hmm. And when you look at Dalton, and now you hear all the things this season about how hard of a worker he is, how much he wants to work, those are the things that Rick's going to look for first and foremost, before the stats, before how he may fit, you know, in a starting five. He wants a guy that understands – I'm going to coach you hard. You're going to have to take it and wants the same things that Rick wants for them. And then that's kind of hard to project, you know, when I'm looking at some of these guys, I don't know what their work ethic is or anything like that. But the coaches do. They talk. It's a tight circle in the coaching world. And with the Northern Colorado thing, as you mentioned, you know, yeah, that sucks for Northern Colorado. But at the same time, that also helps them. When they're looking for kids to get out of the transfer portal.
True.
Hey, we developed a St. Thomas that mm-hmm. went on to Tennessee and became mm-hmm. Potentially to Tennessee to become an NBA draft. We developed Dalton that allowed him to be seen to go to Tennessee. So it's kind of, you know, it helps both programs in those type of situations. And it's kind of the world that we live in now with NIL and the transfer portal. This is going to happen. We all kind of knew that the lower programs are going to get hard by this. You know, it's basically – those programs are basically AAA now. They just call kids up to the big leagues at this point.
Well, it can be, you know, that can work two ways because you're talking about the Thomas kid, and he's from Loyola Chicago, so he goes there. You know, I don't know why he left Loyola Chicago. Maybe it's because the coach left, but, you know, he goes to Northern Colorado, and now he's going to have an opportunity to go play on the big stage again. And it's almost like these schools are going to become the new prep schools, right, where it's, okay – maybe you didn't have the offers you wanted coming out of high school, or maybe you're buried on the depth chart at Murray State or Colorado, wherever. Come here, we'll give you the minutes, and if you show out, then the Tennessees, the Alabamas of the world, going to come find you.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, and that's kind of like what I was talking about, like Northern Colorado being happy. You know, to me, if I'm a Northern Colorado assistant coach and I'm the one, I'm happy because two things are going to happen. One, as you just mentioned, these kids at some of these other programs are going to see that, and they're going to want to go to Northern Colorado because, hey, I'm going to get developed. Two, that's going to help that assistant coach out because whoever at Northern Colorado is finding these kids and then getting in there and developing them, somebody needs to hire that guy because he's got an eye for talent.
What's his name? Who's the guy at Northern Colorado, Tucker?
That's not him. That's the guy at the junior college, Eddie Trinkle.
Eddie Trinkle.
Eddie Trinkle's the guy at the junior college. So
somebody needs to go hire Eddie Trinkle.
Yeah, it's just the way the landscape is today. And, you know, this is really the first year in this transfer portal era that Barnes has hit on these guys.
Yes.
Has really hit on these guys. And it could be a turning point for him, as you guys have mentioned on the show a few times. Now it could be a point to where some of these kids who hit the portal that are you know, named guys, they may be calling Barnes now and wanting to knock down the door to come in now that they see what they were able to do with Dalton Connect.
Yeah, I think that's a safe bet. Jordan Moore, good stuff, my man. We will do this again. Anything else, Tennessee basketball thoughts or otherwise, that you think is pertinent to our conversation or interesting for the audience before we let you run?
Not really. I'll say one thing as far as like the seeding in the NCAA tournament. You know, I kind of mentioned it last night to William on overtime. Tennessee deserves a number one seed as things sit today. And if they win these last two games, they should be a number one seed. When you look at Tennessee's six losses, if you combine their six losses, their KenPom ranking combined is 156th. Arizona's worst loss is Oregon State, who's 156th in KenPom. If you're going to go off for worst losses and best wins, Tennessee's resume speaks for itself over Arizona's. And also there's a chance that why are we going to give a number one seed to an Arizona team who very likely may not win their regular season championship, and the Pac-12 is not very good at basketball, and Tennessee is more than likely going to win the SEC regular championship that may very well be the best conference in college basketball. Tennessee deserves a one seed as things sit today.
Hear, hear. Well said. Jordan Moore, J-Mo, as we call him, friend of the program, friend of the station. Thanks so much, Jordan. Everybody go follow him on the Twitter machine. He is at JordanMoore_21. Jordan, thanks, my man. We'll do it again soon.
I appreciate it. Have a good day, guys.
Jordan Moore making his presence felt. A lot of interesting food for thought there. We will unpack when we continue. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the show. More Tennessee basketball talk coming up. Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio, line out for Tennessee, South Carolina tomorrow. The Vols have opened up as a
4.5-point favorite.
Oh.
That'll just be more, okay. I'm sure, Lamont's.
That plays
be
right into their hands, doesn't it?
Yep.
They're disrespecting us, fellas.
We walked into their house and whipped their ass, and they're coming in here favored over us? That's what I would do if I was him.
You think Beamer's trying to think, scheme up some way to include himself in tomorrow's festivities with a Butch Jones-like awkwardness?
I don't know, man. Like, he got his rear end paddled when he came up here this year. I mean, at least Eli, you know, whatever you think about him, at least he had the W. He could go out there and say, hey, I beat these guys. Applaud for me. What's Beamer going to say? Well, hey, I didn't have the cheat sheet this time. Sorry.
Because apparently that deal with Drinkwitz at the Tennessee game, that there was
some talk?
Yeah. Yeah, apparently so. So, doesn't matter if you do. That's Drinkwitz is classless. I don't think he's got a whole lot of class.
Why?
Because he sat and talked trash. I mean, he's a college football. He's the head football coach at Missouri, and he went to the basketball game and talked trash to Tennessee players.
Do you have that same energy when one Anthony Vitello points at Jamad Broom? When he gets dunked on by Dalton Connect, and he's over there just pointing at him. Get you some of that, Broom!
Tony's never made himself out to be like some. Tony's one of us. Tony's one of us.
Never made himself to be out some kind of what? Brash trash talker? The perpetual line stepper?
Habitual?
He is
from Missouri as well.
Well, I'm just saying.
What is it with those guys up there?
Let's be honest. It's not an honest Friday, but let's be honest.
It's a truthful Tuesday.
You like it when it's our guy. You don't like it when it's somebody else.
Hear, hear.
Well, you hear, hear. Is this in Parliament, Chris?
It's the same thing. The exact same thing. You said Eli Drinkwitz is classless for doing something that we love Tony Vitello doing.
Rules for thee, not for me.
Yeah.
Yes, I don't want Zakai Ziegler being subjected to...
subjected to...
As ridicule, but if Tony wants to do it, to Broom,
okay.
He's our guy.
Tony's a genuine fan of the basketball program. Basketball fans are nuts.
I'd love to know how many games Drinkwitz has been to this year, whereas you pretty much can find Tony. As long as there's nothing crazy
Tony,
going on.
For me, it is a truthful Tuesday. A little weird. I mean, he does have a, you know, he does wear one of the players' jerseys.
They had a deal.
Jersey.
They made a deal.
Well, yeah, that picture of him on the sideline when Squirrel's catching that.
Oh, can you imagine? Can you imagine if Drinkwitz had been wearing a Schrader jersey or something on the sideline? How raw that would rub you.
I'll tell you another person who's funny because you cannot miss him is our boy Stevie during football season, Stevie Hamer. Because he's like 2 feet taller than everybody. He's going nuts.
He's into it. One thing I'll say about Jordan Moore's appearance on the show that stuck with me, and we talk about next year's team, and he did a good job of listing off the potential depth chart.
Mm-hmm.
Next year, you bring back Ziegler, you bring back Adu, you bring back Estrella, Awaka, and the post. Two names he did not mention, and I know he knows this. I'm just – Ganey will be back next year, and he's going to play at least as much as he's playing this year.
100%.
And then the other guy that I think is just a key, I think Meshack. I think he can be so good. I just think he's kind of buried behind a bunch of guys who are always going to play this year. Vescovy, Triple J, Connect, obviously. I just think Meshack figures in heavily. I think he's going to play upwards of 30 minutes a game.
I'm getting tingly.
And I think he can take a step, man. Mm-hmm. He is not going to be Dalton Connect scoring the basketball, and it's probably
– No, but
– we're probably not going to find another one of those guys next year.
If he could average 14 to 16 points a game with the way that kid plays defense, he'll be one of the best – you know, he'll be incredible. He's one of the best defensive players we've had here.
He's a terrific athlete. Long, bouncy, quick –
He's a hustle machine.
And I don't know. I don't know what about great attitude. I don't know what the deal is with his shot. It doesn't look ugly. It's hitchy. It's hitchy. But
he looks like, up until the shot, he looks like a guy that should – he looks like the kind of guy that's in the NBA scoring like 30-something points.
Well, I've been dancing around it. I've been dancing around it in this conversation. But – I think there is some potential there. Like if he shows that he can shoot the ball
a little bit
better.
You want to know what he's shooting
from
three
this year?
He's
an NBA athlete. I'm going to guess 35%.
That's what I was
38.7. Like that's really good.
That's really good.
Yeah, he doesn't have
a lot of attempts, obviously. Some minutes he plays 8 and some minutes he gets, you know, 20-something.
He doesn't take bad shots. He
does
never
not
forces
take bad
a three.
Shots.
And he passes up threes that he probably will start taking here now that – I mean, that could have been a major confidence boost for him to make those 2 3-pointers.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just love the way if there's a loose ball, he is going to battle for that thing.
Real take your lunch pail to work kind of guy, isn't he, Russ?
I could see –
blue collar.
I could see a starting lineup next year where we go big again because Barnes loves to go big. This is the first year that he hasn't gone big regularly, at least to start games. I could see him going with Awaka and Adu up front, Meshack and Ganey on the wings, and Ziegler on the points. And, yes, our offensive efficiency would go down drastically, but that would be a lineup that would just bully people. You talk about strangling the life out of opponents.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's legit It's our five toughest guys we've had on the team.
What might not be, will not be as fun to watch as this year has been, and we probably won't win as many games, but we're in the conversation for a one seed. We probably need to prepare ourselves for the possibility that we're going to take a slight little bitty step back next year.
I don't know. Maybe we go out and get St. Thomas. What a great name.
Averaging 20-10.
St. Thomas playing for the Deacon? Are you kidding me?
Seriously.
Yeah. I mean, the
match made
perfect.
Heaven?
I don't know. I'm hoping this newfound, like I get he wanted, I wonder if he just wanted to do it just to prove he could do it with the defense the past few years. But I like that he's kind of adjusted the way he's done things this year and opened the offense back up.
I will say, A, it's been beneficial, which always helps. It's so much more fun to watch.
Yeah.
This has been such an enjoyable season because of the types of games you've been in and that you've won, where you're scoring in the 90s. You're going to Rupp and hanging 100. Like, that is just – I mean, look, I'll take a win any way I can get it, but I also remember – who was that? Was it Georgetown that beat Conzo and it was 37?
It was like
37. Yeah, it was just –
that guy was awful.
It's just not enjoyable
That's
whatsoever.
Why, as much as I love O'Neal because of the personality, I mean, watching O'Neal ball was horrible, man. It was miserable. Hey, I after thinking about it, I would like to point out and take up for my boy Tony Vitello. Apparently, you know, unlike you three, I don't think
he's... Is this the part of the show where your friends text you and you read their texts on the air?
No, it's not. There's a huge difference between pointing at a player from across the floor and trash talking a player where they can hear you.
There's a huge difference.
Yeah, when you're
seems to me there's a minuscule difference, but
I mean, if you want to just act like Tony Vitello is a bad guy, that's on you.
Oh, you kind of like it how I'm kind of turning on Tony here lately. Yeah. It's part of my heel turn. Alabama was 9 of 29 from the field in the second half, I believe, of that game. And Mayshak had such a big role in that. And the bigs, I could see that being more of the norm. It's weird to think, though, man, like the Grant and Admiral teams, this is always the comparison, right? Is like they were the opposite, right? They were always top five offensive efficiency, and then in the 50s on defense.
Were they really in the 50s? No, that, I mean that checks out. I guess I wouldn't have guessed as low as 50s, but do you remember how many either times we got way down and had to come clawing back, or sadly blew big leads and allowed teams to get back in the game? Like that was pretty common in, you know, games against teams with a pulse.
What year?
Was that 19? The Grant and Admiral year?
Yeah.
Well, we had Iowa down like 20 at the half. Then they come back and send that game to overtime. Had a big lead against
Purdue.
We were done
against Purdue, right?
We had the lead, I think, against Purdue. No, you're right.
We were done. Yeah, yeah. We had to come back. We blew the lead against Colgate.
Blew it against Colgate, blew it against Iowa. And then, yeah, we thought Purdue was just going to probably run away with it.
Or did
it.
We come back? We're butchering this, aren't we?
Probably.
Purdue got way
always
out in
invert
front
them.
Of us.
No, that's what, yeah.
And
okay.
Then we clawed our way back
right,
into that
that's what I thought.
And then we
Admiral hit that three from midcourt. I was so sure we were going to win at that point. I was just like, it's over. It's over. We're going.
I still miss Admiral.
And then I was sitting right where you are because the Godfather was here, and he owns the station. What are you going to do? I had to let him have my seat. And we were so mad. Voluntary reaction. That was the most bitterly disappointed, and there have been some bitterly disappointing voluntary reactions through the years. I don't know if it's ever been as bad as that. I wanted to, if I could have just jumped off Gay Street Bridge, it's probably a good thing we were nowhere close to
the SEC tournament. That's the one I'm glad that, like, you used to get. It was this time of year was rough dealing with you.
Let's get Joshy Boy in here next. Joshy Boy, you're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
What's up, guys?
What's up?
So, can I make it clear? If Florida beats Bama tonight and we beat South Carolina tomorrow, we clinch the SEC, right? Outright?
Yes.
Well?
We clinch a share.
I hate to say this, but I'm pulling for the Gator tonight. Gators.
No, if what he just described, if Well, would we clinch a share or no? We win it outright if Bama loses tonight, right? Yeah, if Bama loses tonight, we beat South Carolina tomorrow, it's over.
Yep, because that puts everyone behind you with five losses or more, obviously, mm-hmm. and you would have the maximum of four if you lost to Kentucky, so yes.
You know what the most really cool thing would be to do tomorrow, but South Carolina probably won't allow it, to cut the nets down in their building after we beat them.
Yeah, there's no way.
No chance.
Yeah. I guess we can do it after the Kentucky game Saturday.
If we win.
Yeah, I don't know, it's so rare that you have it clinched going into the last game, but if you lost to Kentucky, would you still bring the ladders out?
Might not even do it.
I don't think you would.
I don't. Yeah. I wouldn't want to.
No, I'm saying we might not even do it if we win. I mean,
I don't know. I think if they won, they'd do it, yeah.
Okay.
All right, I got a question for you guys. Do you think St. Thomas, that's at Northern Colorado right now, do you think in off season he'll look at what Rick Barnes did for Connect, possibly going to be a lottery pick in the summer? Do you think he could come to Tennessee after seeing what Rick Barnes did with Connect?
Yeah, I mean, if Jordan kind of hinted that he might have the option to go to the NBA.
Yeah, he said he's going to wait on his draft grade.
So let's see what happens there. But if he has to play another year of college ball, why would a dude like that do it at Northern Colorado? No offense.
Right.
Unless you just didn't want to move.
It's a pretty good situation to be in if you're Tennessee, because I think Jordan – I was going to ask him about this. It's kind of a hard question to phrase. But in the transfer portal, so many people, they just immediately look at stats and say, oh, we got to get this guy. We got to get this guy. With Tennessee basketball and Rick Barnes, it is so much about fit, work ethic. You know, like, are you going to be a culture fit when you get here? Having Connect and knowing what he is, you've got great intel on St. Thomas, either because you knew him or because you know your coaches and can ask them. Like, this is – if he's interested and we're interested, I'd feel pretty good about the chances there, because you're going to have the entire book on this kid.
Right. Guys, out the door, after DJ Burns dropped 27 on Duke last night in the losing effort, I wonder how many beers and burgers he ate and chugged. See ya.
No!
I knew that was coming.
Personal appearance is not show fodder, Joshy boy.
Was it Davey last night who sent us the text about DJ Burns?
Yeah. He ate another DJ Burns.
DJ Burns has eaten another DJ Burns since the start of the season. Apparently he's playing large and in charge.
Hour number 3 of The Drive coming up. Stay with us.